The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 34. The nine of us, Alvy, Hobie, Roger and me, Mr. Freddy Benaz III, and, of course, the four camels, stood on the bank of the Humbunga at the point at which it sharply turns, looking up at the great tree, via whose branches Hobie had earlier crossed to the midpoint of the river, and wondering how each of us would replicate his act. At least, that is what I was thinking. I was also wondering how we would possibly get the camels up into the tree. Across on the branch, which, although it was fairly large, did not seem much like a camel-ready bridge, and then from there, across the end of the first branch, onto a second branch, which was somewhat thinner, and overhanging the river from the far side. This seemed to me something like an impossible task. We decided that we should perhaps make an attempt first with the smallest and most amenable of the camels, which was Roger's. If we managed this, then we could proceed from there. Step one was, of course, getting the camel into the tree. I would wager a rather large sum of money that you have never seen a camel climb a tree. Until this foolish expedition, I had never seen such a thing either. If I live to be 100, I hope never to see such a thing again. It is not what I would call a pretty sight. But I am being quite generous when I use the word climb. Shoved up would be a more accurate phraseology. What we did was, the four of us, for the ape wisely took no part, got behind the poor thing, and grabbing hold of its large beige derriere, lifted and jammed it up against the trunk of the tree, hoping that it would naturally, and of its own accord, work its way onto the outstretched branch. It was an act of the purest optimism. The poor thing was just confused by our efforts and merely bugged out its eyes and waited for this indignity to come to an end. It shortly did, as even the smallest camel was not supportable in this position for any length of time. Discouraged and disheartened at having failed so miserably, we sat panting on the turf for some time before Hobie postulated a plan B. This plan B called for one of us, I was elected somehow, to scramble up and out onto the overhanging branch whilst clutching the reins of the camel. The others would then repeat the earlier attempt to hoist the beast, and I, by whatever means available, would tug and yank and cajole the reluctant fellow out over the river with me. I can't say that the prospect of being suspended out over the swiftly moving waters with a distressed and largish animal filled me with glee, but I wasn't sad to say goodbye to my camel-shoving chores either. It had occurred to me that at some point we would be doing the same thing to my ride, and given her gastric peculiarities, that was not a position I wanted to occupy. So, up the tree I went, reins in hand, ready to coax.